Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. Nice to see you. Christmas is awesome, isn't it? It's always a fantastic time of year for Christians, families. It's an awesome time of fun. I remember once we had when our kids were little, when our Ruth and Joe were quite little, I got this Santa costume that someone asked me to do this thing at this kid's place. So they gave me this Santa costume. This was in the days when you didn't really get Santa costumes. And it was a really good one. So I thought, I wondered if our kids actually believed in Santa because they were only still little. So before I went to this place, I said to Margaret, I'll just throw it on because the kids were just going to bed. I'll just throw it on and go and see if they actually believe in Santa or not. So I threw this Santa costume on quickly, went upstairs and... I think Margaret said, someone special's coming to see you. And they were sort of bouncing on the bed. And who? And he said, you'll have to see. And I came in, ho, ho, ho. And I had this awesome beard on and came in and went fairly close to them and went, ho, ho, ho. Have you been a good little boy? Yes, thought you liar. And then, have you been a good little girl? Yes, thought maybe. And then I sort of started to laugh a little bit. So I thought, I better... Before I lose it, I'll back out the room quick. And I went out, oh, oh, well, make sure you are. And I went out and I was like, just holding it together, the laughing. And I went downstairs and took it off. And then Margaret went back up and said, who came to see you? And they were bouncing on the bed, absolutely buzzing. They said, Santa came to see us. It was amazing. And I came in behind her. And they went, Dad, come here. You're not going to believe this, our Ruth said. I said, what? She said, Santa wears exactly the same trainers as you. Is that cool? So they believed. Yeah, a bit scary, really, because one was 19, the other was 21. It's great to be here in this wonderful church. Only in this church does Stephen have a flask of tea next to him. Sarah took into big cakes during the meeting. What a church. It's brilliant. He's the awesome scripture about Christmas, the famous one. It actually starts with something interesting about the occult. We won't really go there, but let me just read it to you. It says, when men tell you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter, why don't people inquire of God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? Look to the law and the testimony, because if people don't speak according to this word, they have no light. Sounds like England at the moment. They have no light of dawn. Distressed and hungry, they roam through the land, famished for light. Then they will look towards the earth and see only distress and darkness, and fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness. But there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, but in the future, he will honour Galilee by the way of the sea, along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and on those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Verse 6 says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. That includes today. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. I'm glad the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this and not our human zeal, eh? The zeal of God is what will establish this kingdom of God in Redcar and along this coast in this generation, establish it and uphold it and make it happen. It's the zeal of God, actually. God has a plan. That's why we're over here. That's why you're here. There's a wonderful presence of God this morning. Brilliance, I loved it. I don't know whether you did, but I was absolutely in heaven this morning, worshipping, enjoying the thick presence of God. I don't know whether sometimes you might feel like you're the back end of nowhere over here, but you're actually in the front line. You know, the best troops get sent to the front line, don't you? That's how all armies do it. The front line gets the best troops. And as I look around this room, it's thick with anointing and giftings and saints. Serious men and women of God. Well done. Hold the line. It's like being in a rugby scrum, getting behind the vision of God. It's a battle sometimes. It's hard work. You feel thin on the ground. But as I was stood there this morning, I felt the Holy Spirit say to me this: they're not thin on the ground, they're thick on the ground. You're like clotted cream over here. There's a thick anointing and gifting in all of you, you men and women of God. As you get in the rugby scrum behind Tom and Stacey, get your heads down and inch forward. We're all inching forward, aren't we? Before the mighty wave of revival hits in this nation. We're all inching forward, but be of good cheer, brothers and sisters. This kingdom of God, in every generation, no matter how light or dark it is in the world, God has promised to establish the throne of Jesus and the reign of Jesus over this world. He'll uphold it and he'll increase it forever and ever. We can only win and we only ever do. This coast was ablaze with the glory of God before, wasn't it? It was ablaze in the days of Aidan and Cuthbert and Bede. Ablaze with God from Whitby, which was a mighty prayer centre filled with monks and nuns on fire for God. They couldn't contain the amount of young people who wanted to enter. It seems almost strange to us, doesn't it? Young people in the hundreds attempting to serve God with all their heart, wanting to enter these monasteries, amazing, to give up the world and family and marriage and everything, to know God and be used by him. Incredible. The whole of this northeast, from the mouth of the Tyne right down to Whitby, was on fire for God. This is what it says in Isaiah. Hey, listen, things start small, but small is good. Isn't that what Christmas is all about? Isn't that how God does it? Doesn't he delight to do it that way? God doesn't do the flashy. It's a nice Christmas tree. It's awesome. But God doesn't do the flashy. He does the glory, yeah, but not the flashy. He does the simple and the small and brings through that his glory. Nothing was smaller than Christmas. For Jesus, this mighty God, to come down in such a humble, simple way is just amazing. One tiny speck of light coming down from heaven, the light of the world coming into the darkness, going to land in Mary's womb, carried on the wings of the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit that did the work of fusing Mary's egg and God Almighty. Wow! What a mystery! The angel said to Joseph, "What is inside Mary is conceived by the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit brought Jesus down like a light coming down from heaven. He came down so we can go up, didn't he? You know, St. Cuthbert, who was the most loved and most famous of all the saints in the Northeast, who was just like Reinhard Bonnke of his day, an amazing healer and preacher. St. Cuthbert began as a young lad, a shepherd. He'd been in the army, and he was a shepherd working up near Northumbria. He was a committed Christian by then, actually, and his buddies who were shepherds with him were also Christians. They'd had a little prayer time, and then the guys had gone to sleep because they were there all night with the sheep outside. Rough life, hard people. And outside, Cuthbert decided to stay up a bit longer and pray a little bit longer. The other lads went to sleep. And while he was praying, he had an amazing experience with God. He saw, a few miles away, a light come down from heaven, shine down. And then in this light, he saw people, angels, coming down. Angels, he saw them just like the shepherds at Christmas. Cuthbert, in this land, saw angels come down. And then with them, they collected a shining light. A shining light, and accompanied this shining light back into heaven. And then it went. And he was absolutely freaked out and woke up his brothers and said, "Brothers, you should have stayed and prayed longer. We're missing angels. And I've seen angels." And they're like, what happened? They said, "What was it?" And he explained to them what had happened. And they said, "What?" And they figured among themselves, "What do you think happened?" And he said, "I think maybe some Christian, some saint, some holy person died last night." There's no internet then. "No, let's Google it and see who's died. Like we found out about Reinhard Bonnke, who died yesterday." And they did find out. The Aidan, the fiery evangelist who first brought the gospel up round here, died that night on the island of Lindisfarne, just a few miles away. They saw it happen. They saw him go back into heaven. That had a massive effect on Cuthbert. He thought, forget the army, forget being a shepherd. If that's what happens to a person who knows God, that's where I'm going. I'm going into that country. I'm going to live for God. That's it. And he really did. I mean, honestly, his life was amazing. He was probably the saint most like Jesus in church history. He was absolutely amazing. Traveling, healing, preaching, ministering, praying. He was loved by everyone around here. Brothers and sisters, we're walking in their footsteps. This ground, this area, this northeast coast was their land. They evangelized these places. They belong to Jesus. They belong to us. Don't worry about starting small. Nothing Christian ends small. It only starts small. Jesus came very small to this earth. So small, but he was bigger than the universe. How do you figure that out? Small enough to go into Mary's womb, but he himself, the universe was made through him and for him. The light of the world coming down, brighter than the sun and all the stars put together, because they were all made from his light. This tiny little light. God's not worried about tiny. God does tiny very well. Reinhard Bonnke's life and ministry ended huge. What he did is he rode the waves of the Holy Spirit across the continent of Africa. No one's done in church history up to now. Not Whitfield, not Wesley, not Billy Graham. Billy Graham brought 3 million people to Jesus through face-to-face preaching. Tremendous, and obviously many millions through books and TV and things. Reinhard Bonnke brought about 70 million people in Africa to Jesus through face-to-face evangelism, not to mention untold millions through books and other countries he visited and so on. But he started so weak and small. Me and Ian had the massive privilege of spending time with him. We spent a week with him down in London. It was a phenomenal time. But he started small, but he ended really big. He started very small. There's one time in his life that not many people know about or mention, when he was utterly depressed as a missionary in the south of Africa. He just felt defeated. He left the Pentecostal movement, the German Pentecostal movement, because he felt he needed to branch out on his own, but he felt utterly alone. He felt bereft of everything. He was sat on his suitcases in his front lawn. They'd just moved house, and he was didn't know what on earth to do. He was so anxious he couldn't sleep. And he went to the doctor and the doctor said, "You've got stomach ulcers, you're so anxious." This is Reinhard Bonnke, just a young man. He was devastated. He'd never had anything physically wrong with him. He was praying, "God, what shall I do? What shall I do?" And at last, God spoke. He said, "Go into the next nation," which was... What's the next nation up from South Africa? Anyone good on the map? Botswana. Thank you, brother. Botswana. Go into Botswana. So he had a little bit of money. He had enough for the flight. He flew into Botswana and walked. He didn't have enough for a taxi. He walked from the airport, the miles, to the first town, to the capital, I think, into the capital. He got there and he went into a church. Actually, as he was walking there, the Holy Spirit said, "Look right." And he looked right. And there was the National Basketball Stadium. Holds 10,000 people. 10,000 people. Bonnke had never seen any big numbers in his ministry up to now. And the Holy Spirit said to him, "You'll preach in there for me." He thought, wow. He went and went to a local church and found out. He'd stayed a few days with some local Christians who welcomed him in and took him to the local pastor's meeting in Botswana, in the capital. And he went in and he said there was about 40 pastors there. And he introduced himself. "My name's Reinhard Bonnke." Never heard of him. "And the Holy Spirit's told me to hire that stadium and preach." And they said, "Who are you again?" "I'm Reinhard Bonnke." Yeah. "But who are you? You're nobody." And he said, "I know I'm nobody. I know you've never heard of me. I am nobody. But please believe me, the Holy Spirit said hire this." Most of them had no time for him whatsoever. They were getting on with busy ministries, and who would blame them? Unheard of nobody, little German white guy in a black man's world. "Who are you?" One of the pastors agreed to support him a bit. He had a church of 40 members. Reinhard Bonnke went, made arrangements to hire this for a week. He said he was dripping with sweat and trembling as he signed the agreement. Didn't have a penny. He signed the agreement, looking up to heaven, "God, you better turn up for me." They turned up for the first night. This pastor with his 40 members and no one else. This is the truth. No one else. Bonnke was on the platform. I don't know what you feel like. I've felt pretty like this sometimes, but not on this scale. An arena of 10,000 seats that you're paying for and 40 people on the front row. Bonnke preached the best he could, and then the Holy Spirit intervened and said, "Pray for the people." He said, "Come forward and we'll pray for you." And he went to pray for them, and all 40 fell down in the Holy Spirit, something that Bonnke had never seen before. They all fell down, boom, 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 boom. And three or four of them were ill, and they got up completely healed. In fact, one of them was blind. And he got up. "I can see! I can see! I can see!" By the end of that week, there was 10,000 people in the auditorium. And he was off. God's not worried about starting small. He's not worried about our sweat or our stomach ulcers on the way. He got healed of the stomach ulcers. God's looking for people who dare start small like Jesus did. But you don't end small. Bonnke didn't end small, did he? It was like being with a giant, wasn't it, brother, in that room. Funny thing is, we stayed in London, in Kensington. Me, Ian, Paul, Andy Bray and Stuart. And we came out and we bumped into David Beckham, didn't we? David Beckham was taking his kids to school. David Beckham, fantastic footballer, an icon, hero. But he didn't half look small compared to Reinhard. You went past him, you thought, oh, he's really small. He's really small. You never felt that about Reinhard, though. Reinhard filled the room. Filled the room. Smith Wigglesworth used to say, oh, I'm a lot bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. Bigness, greatness is to do with connection to the great God. He's the Christmas story. Who's the biggest, Mary or Herod? Oh, who remembers Herod? Mary, for sure. Mary the nobody. Mary the little. God has had regard for the humble state of his servant. He's done this miracle for me. I'm pregnant, but I'm also a virgin. It's a miracle. He's done it for me. And from now on, she prophesied, every generation is going to call me blessed. I'm the most blessed woman on earth. Of course she was. What a privilege. What a cost. What a joy. What a story. What a life. Mary is the most famous woman who's ever been on planet earth. The most loved, adored, sometimes worshipped. But no one remembers Herod. No pop star comes anywhere near her. Mary, the smallest of all, became the biggest of all because she received Jesus. Are you going to receive him this Christmas again? Have you got room for Jesus? The world doesn't have room for him. Mary and Joseph go along in the little nativity play at school. Aren't they awesome nativity plays? Going along. Is there any room in the inn? No! Is there any room in the inn? No. Boom. All the parents laugh. Is there any room in the inn? No, but I've got a stable round the back. You can go around the back. What a story. It's just amazing, isn't it? But it's the true story of how God came to earth. This is how he does it. I've got a little prayer shed in our garden at the moment. I thought, what a great place to spend Christmas. That's where it all happened, wasn't it? In a shed. There's no room in the house. Jesus, Mary, Joseph, you'll have to go in the shed. And there's still, in every generation, terrible darkness, brothers and sisters. Terrible ignorance. Terrible sorrow. Lost lives. Going nowhere. But there's still the light of Jesus shining in you and me. Shining for them to see. Because we've got room for him. Who put your hand up if you've got room for Jesus? Who's got room for Jesus this Christmas? Have you got room for Jesus, boys? Hands up then. Hands up if you've got room for Jesus. When you lift your hand up, you're saying, Jesus, come in to my heart. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the mighty God. You came and did mighty things on that cross. Mighty things as you rose from the dead. And you're going to do the mightiest thing of all when you burst through the skies with all your armies to claim this world for your own. But Lord Jesus, we thank you that you started so small. You came humble, tiny, but still the light that changes everything. You came to Mary's womb. You came to that stable. You came to your own people and they didn't have time or space for you. But thank you, Jesus, that we've heard of you. We've opened the door to have you in our life. And we ask you, Jesus, that you would absolutely shine your light in us this year, this Christmas. Lord, we want space for you. We want room for you. Lord, have every room. Have every room in our lives. And Lord, as we connect to you, take what's small here in Redcar Church and make it massive. Not through human zeal, but through the zeal of Almighty God, who was determined to honour his Son and establish his kingdom in every nation. Thank you, Lord, that our time is coming, that 2020 is coming, 2020 vision. We pray, Lord, that we would see mighty waves of the Holy Spirit like we've never seen. And we'd see many 40s become 10,000 in a week. Because when your Holy Spirit moves, nothing can stop it. Thank you for letting us be first in on the action. Thank you for letting our names be on the tree that grows for your glory. Thank you for Ian and Carolyn, who started this church with us. Thank you for Tom and Stacey, who battle away. Thank you for these saints in this room, absolute men and women of God, called by God, anointed by God to be here and to go out to the nations. Thank you for the thick, clotted cream anointing in this room. Lord, we just declare today, we ain't going anywhere, only forward. We put our heads down in prayer. We connect together in the rugby scrum of the kingdom of God. And we advance till the kingdom comes and the king comes back. Thank you, God, for the mighty saints that have gone before us. Make us like them in our day. In Jesus' name. Thank you for Cuthbert. Thank you for Reinhard. Now it's us. Now it's Joel and Benji and Faith and Aaron. Sam, sorry, Sam. It's them and it's us pushing them on. We pray, Holy Spirit, for Matthias and John as well, that you would move like a mighty river through this place and do awesome things in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.